Namaste. Hi, what's up, geeks? I'm Vikram Mohan, and this is episode 114 of the Tech Podcast that brings you up to speed with the world of tech. On other shows from Foursquare Podcast, this week, Attention Plus with Arnab Ray discusses the farm bills. And on Binge On, we have four rib-tickling Hindi comedy movies. So check them out at foursquare.net. That's the number 4, SPIRE.net. And of course, joining us again here on WhatsApp Geeks is Vijay. Hi, Vijay.
Hi, everyone.
Vijay, as usual, we've got a lot of news to talk about and very less time. So let me skip the pleasantries and we'll get right down to broken news. And on broken news, our first story is, let me club these two stories. So similar to India, I believe even the US government tried banning TikTok, the Trump government. But I think at the current, the US courts also challenged the ban and unbanned it. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I think it kind of doesn't make much of a difference because I think whatever Trump wanted was to basically have some U.S. ownership, and I think that seems to have already happened in the sense that some deal has been struck between Oracle, Walmart, and you know, ByteDance to basically take over a minority share. Although on paper it says that Walmart and Oracle will actually have majority share in that company. But ByteDance, of course, has indicated that they will do additional fundraising and basically make sure that the U.S. Stake is becomes a minority in a short while.
So while that happens, of course, there's a whole bunch of, in both in India and the U.S., you've got a lot of TikTok clones which are popping up. Here, of course, during the IPL, I think almost on every break, I see an ad for a TikTok clone. There is one from InShots. There's one from, there's one built in into Ghana. So pretty much anyone who's there in the market is kind of like launching their own TikTok clones. And the big one, of course, is YouTube. YouTube is launching something called YouTube Shorts, which is being rolled out. I haven't got it yet, but do you have it? Are you at all interested in this space?
I'm not very keen on it, but the interesting thing is this is being piloted only in India right now. The rest of the world doesn't get it until much later, probably.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Wasn't you okay. Probably again not for only on Android. So I will have to check it out on an Android phone. Moving right on, of course, but sticking with Google. Google has confirmed that there is going to be a hardware event on September 30th. And no surprises, right in the event itself, they said, come, let's look at our new Chromecast, our new Google Homes, and the new Pixel phones, plural. So we know what we're going to get. We are going to get two Pixel phones. That is the Pixel 4a 5G. What a horrible, horrible name. Pixel 4a 5G and the Pixel 5, the new Chromecast, which is essentially Android TV built-in. But they're calling it Chromecast with Google TV and the new Google Homes, which are called Nest Homes. Any of this excites you?
Not really. I think there are no significant improvements other than I think for the Chromecast one, I believe this one will now finally get Android TV, which is you know, something that's been long pending.
Long overdue, yeah.
Yeah. So, but since since I already have the Nvidia Shield, I'm not really in the market for any of these items, and you know, I'm pretty happy with my OnePlus 7 Pro phone. So I don't see myself switching phones any time in the near future.
Yeah, the Pixel 5 is not supposed to be a high-end flagship. It's going to be more mid-range. And of course, the new Google Homes look decent, but I don't expect them to have any revolutionary features. But let's see, maybe Google will also have its one more thing and let's hope there's something exciting. Of course, we will cover it.
And the weird thing this time is, I think, you know, the Pixel 4a 5G and the Pixel 5 both have the exact same processor. The difference is just the amount of RAM that I think, you know, the 4a comes with 6G and 6GB and 5 will come possibly with 8GB RAM. But otherwise, it's basically you're getting, I mean, I think they should have just basically made it like a variant of 4a rather than call it a 5, but I will have to see what extra value adds that they are providing to justify possibly like, you know, $150 or $200 difference between the two.
And the 4A, by the way, still hasn't launched in India. It still says coming soon. So maybe during the hardware event on September 30th, maybe they will announce that it's now the non-5G one. The Pixel 4A is now available in India and announce pricing as well. And of course, finally, we had a PlayStation event from Sony where they announced pricing shortly after Xbox also announced pricing. So why don't you talk about Xbox? Because I noticed I did not mention this the PS5 pricing. So while I quickly add that, why don't you take us through the pricing for Xbox in the US and in India?
Yeah, the pricing is interesting. I think in the US, they have priced it pretty reasonably. At least the Series S looks like a very attractive option for a lot of people, since in most practical scenarios, nobody is really looking to do 4K gaming. I think 1080p is still going to be the mainstream,
right?
As far as gaming consoles are concerned, you know, for at least the next couple of years. So I think Series S will be the best-selling model out of the two. And it's been priced at $300, which is quite aggressive pricing. Although and the Series X, which is a higher end, which comes with an optical drive, and of course the unlike Sony, Xbox has basically has very different specs between the budget model and the premium model, and the budget model has like around half the processing power of the premium one, which shouldn't affect its performance since it's only targeting 1080p. But at the same time, you know, Sony is actually giving you the identical specs in both the budget and the premium. So that way, I think Sony has an upper hand there. But what I was really disappointed in was like the pricing in India seems to be ridiculously high.
Right. I mean, the Series X, I think that they have priced. It's not available though in Amazon, at least it says coming soon. Series X is quoting at 1 rupee, less than 50,000 rupees. While if you do a dollar conversion of $500, it should be closer to 37, let's say even 40,000. So it's a good 10,000 rupees more than what it costs in the US. Series S has been priced at 35,000. And if you do a dollar conversion of the $300 that it costs, it should be costing 22,000. So even if you jack it up again to 25,000, again a 10,000 rupee difference in both Series X and Series S.
Yeah, it's disappointing that they have done this, but let's see whether it pays for them, or it works out, or people just stay away from that generation itself.
Yeah, Amazon isn't accepting pre-orders for PlayStation 5 yet in India, but the US prices are that they're matching the Xbox Series X pricing for the one with the optical drive. So the PS5 with optical drive is costing $500, 1 cent less, $499.99. And the digital only one, which actually looks much better because it doesn't have the weird, Blu-ray drive.
Yeah.
That is $400, $100 less, but $100 more than what the Xbox Series S costs.
Yeah, for the $100 more that you're paying over the Series S, you are getting almost
same
double
specs.
The talking power and graphic capability and all that. So I think overall, the overall winner would be still that budget model of the PS5 in the, if you compare both, but within each platform, I think the budget models are still the more attractive ones compared to the ones with the optical drives.
Absolutely. Of course, one thing which happened was that when the Xbox went on sale, a lot of which again it was handled so bad. I mean, I keep bringing up this point that Apple is the only company which seems to be adept at taking people's money. You never hear of shortages of any of their products, even at launch, even though the demand is far, far, far on a scale of magnitudes higher. But again, Xbox Series X, when it launched, it quickly went out of stock on almost every place, including Microsoft's online store, on Walmart, on Amazon, on Best Buy and all in the US. And unfortunately, what seems to have happened is because of Microsoft's very confusing branding strategy, a lot of people who were looking for Series X saw that the One, Xbox One X, which is a kind of souped up version of Xbox One, they ended up buying that. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of returns.
Yeah, and I agree that the naming of the Xbox model has been a giant blunder. I myself have trouble keeping those names straight most of
Absolutely.
The time. So I'm not surprised at all that people thought they were getting the latest one and actually ended up buying the older model.
Just to refresh folks who might not know, I think the correct sequence would be the first one was called Xbox. Then we had Xbox 360. Then we had the slimmer version of it called Xbox 360S. Then we had Xbox One. Then we had Xbox One S. Then Xbox One X. And the next one is called, the next generation is called Xbox Series X and Series S. Series, I mean, how hard is it? Just PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You always know the bigger number is the latest one. Or just put the year, Xbox 2020, Xbox 2000. Yeah. Take a cue from Windows or... I think that pretty much covers up the news. So let's take a quick break. And on the other side, we are going to be discussing the Apple event and the Amazon event. So stick around. Welcome back. So we had two big events. The first one, of course, was Apple's. So Apple's second digital-only event after WWDC. Vijay, so compared to what everyone else, again, Apple seems to have the slickest online. They seem to have figured out a format which kind of works for them. Did you watch the entire event?
I didn't watch the entire event. I ended up watching like the highlight thing, videos from other
Makes
websites.
Sense. You know, Makes Verge sense. Or something. I was watching it and I was disappointed right off when thankfully, Tim Cook right away at the beginning said that we are going to be talking about watch and iPads. That's it. So he made it very clear that this is not the iPhone event, which I guess I'm actually happy he did that. I'm sure many people immediately tuned out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, this was one thing which nobody, I think, really anticipated that there won't be a iPhone announcement in this particular event. And pretty much everybody was disappointed about that.
Of course, the first focus in the event was the Apple Watch, the Apple Watch Series 6, as they called it. So this one, again, an upgraded processor. Or was it the same process? But the big story, of course, was that it now it reads the blood oxygen levels, and they have new straps. I mean, big hoop and new watch faces. Trust Apple to make that into a big thing. But yeah, the pulse oximeter thing is probably the big change. And they also introduced what was, as was expected, a kind of a budget, if you can call it that, version of the watch called Apple Watch SE, which doesn't have, of course, the pulse oximeter, and it doesn't even have the ECG from last year's models. Any of this excited you? I mean, anything in the watch story?
No, watch being something that's Apple has decided to lock it out of any other ecosystem other than their own It's a product that doesn't really excite me much since I'm still on Android, and I don't have any immediate plans of switching to iPhone just for the sake of owning an Apple Watch. But I think, yeah, I mean, they have been steadily making improvements, and they have added a new faster processor this time. And of course, similar to iPad, Apple is pretty much operating in a market of, you know, competing in a market of one.
Right.
In this category. So they don't really have to do anything drastic. As long as they just make iterative improvements, that's going to be good enough to keep selling millions of these every year.
So from what I understand now, they have three watches up. The Series X6 is the, of course, the high-end one. Then they're positioning Watch SE as a kind of a mid-ranger. Then if you're on a budget, you can go for the Watch Series 3, which is a two-year-old Apple Watch. And of course, on a related note, Apple also launched its online store in India. So you could, instead of relying on, let's say, a brick and mortar store or Amazon or Flipkart, now you can buy stuff and give Apple money directly. But moving on, after the watch, the next thing they were talking about are the iPads, specifically the iPad and the iPad Air. iPad Air received the most love, right? What were the changes in iPad?
In the iPad, it's just upgraded a processor, like, you know, it gets the A12 instead of the A10 that was there.
Which is a 2-year-old processor anyways.
A12 is still like,
one year old
processor. But I think A12 is a significant bump in performance over the A10. And I think they will stick with this A12. They'll basically milk it as long as it can. So it's like the first year of this A12 processor in the standard iPad, and I'm sure that's going to continue for another 3 to 4 years at least. But I think they didn't really need to do anything much with the regular iPad, since it's again competing in basically pretty much on its own market. So whatever improvement they did were much needed improvements, and it's still, I think, if I were to recommend a tablet to anyone, that would still be the
one. Hands down. Very surprised that iPad Air got so much upgrades. I mean, they have the new processor, which I'm assuming next month we'll hear about it in the iPhone 12. And of course, it's got USB-C. Basically, it puts it on par with, in fact, processing-wise, it makes it better than the iPad Pro. The only differentiating factor between the iPad Air now and the Pro is that the Pro has the 120 hertz display. So they've really made the iPad Air comparable and superior in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think iPad Air till last year was like in a kind of a no man's land. It was neither a Pro machine nor a strict, run-of-the-mill tablet as well. It was like kind of in between where, I think the positioning was not, it was not clear like whom they were targeting with that. And I think now it makes it clear that it, for any serious, media or multimedia work and all that, if you want a tablet to take on the go, I think it's kind of entry point to the Pro line, although it's not quite, doesn't have all the features, but I think for a lot of people, they will happily settle with the iPad Air, since it basically brings all the important stuff into a more budget-friendly model.
Absolutely. And of course, apart from making the announcement that iOS 14 is out officially, which I am on right now, the other big news was, again, we had spoken about that on this podcast, was Apple launched Apple One, which is they bundled all their services. And apart from that, they also said Apple Health Plus, which is a crazy expensive $10 a month healthcare subscription. But the Apple One has two tiers. There's one for $15, which brings together Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and gives you 50 GB of iCloud. And there's a crazy more expensive tier, which includes the newsstand and also the health subscription thing, Apple Health Plus. But I was looking at the pricing for India, so which was actually quite pleasant. I mean, Apple has been doing that at least on the services side. So the Apple one, there's only, by the way, one. They don't have the, you know, the expensive one with the health health plus in it, because Apple, the magazine, the Apple newsstand and all, that's not available in India. So the only one available in India is they have an individual thing which has the music, TV plus, arcade and iCloud, 50 GB of it, and it costs 195 rupees per month, which I would guess, I mean, if you subscribed even a couple of these things, it makes sense to go for this. And there's also a family option where for 365 rupees you get the same things. You get music, TV plus, arcade and 200 GB of iCloud, and you can share it with up to 5 people. So if your entire family is on iPhones and iPads, yeah, makes sense to go for this. I would certainly say it's good pricing. Currently, of course, I have only iCloud, for which I pay around, I'm guessing it's 75 rupees. And I have 1 year of Apple TV Plus. I do have Apple Music is shit on, because, you know, it doesn't support casting. I can't cast it to any of my speakers, which are all on, you know, Google Homes and stuff. So I don't use Apple Music. But if I were to use it, it makes, even if I just want, you know, iCloud and TV Plus, instead of paying 75, maybe it might make sense to pay 195 and get TV Plus and Arcade. I don't know. There's something I'll have to think about in early next year when my Apple TV subscription ends. But any thoughts on this Apple one?
No, I think it's a good plan. I think for families who have like multiple iDevices at home, I think most of them will end up, you know, switching over to this Apple One plan. It's kind of attractively priced.
Especially in India.
Yeah, in India especially. And even in the US, if you're a heavy user of all the Apple services, then I think it still makes sense. Although if you just tend to use like your iCloud plus your iPhone and nothing else, then it's probably not worth your time. So yeah, I think, I mean, it's again something that every other vendor like Google and all have there for their ecosystem. Right. So it's just a matter of time that Apple comes up with this.
And of course, we also had Amazon touting its entire range of hardware. The most, of course, they had the new Echo. It looks different. It looks spherical, right? The new Echo.
The new Echo, I think, yeah, they have done some interesting designs this time. And I think, you know, it looks pretty attractive. I liked actually most of the hardware that they announced was pretty, I mean, it was a pleasant surprise for me as to like, you know, the overall design and features and stuff. So there's something that came out of left field, I feel, the Amazon, because Amazon hasn't had a regular event like this. They just keep trickling out hardware whenever they feel like it. They don't have like one time of the year where they will club together all their hardware announcements and do it in one go. I think in my memory, this is probably the first time that they are doing such a thing. And I think nobody was really watching out for that. And we had very little leaks about any of these in the media.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, I can't think of any other hardware event where there has been zero leaks. And we actually never heard about even the most interesting device, which we haven't spoken about yet. But no leaks, as far as I've seen.
Right.
Is it also, could it be because there aren't too many people interested? No, that's not right. I mean, there are legions of fans who swear by Amazon's Echo, and for Fire TV, of course, I mean, is massively popular.
I think, I mean, as far as I am aware, I think the Echo has sold more numbers than any of the other intelligent assistant devices.
Even more than Google, definitely. it's still world leading.
There are plenty of fans out there, or plenty of people who, you know, prefer to use the Amazon ecosystem. So, yeah, it was a pleasant surprise, and it was nice to suddenly see this new product without even having any idea what that whole event was about.
Then, of course, they also announced a new Fire TV stick, which is faster. And you know,
yeah, it just has that HDR support, but nothing groundbreaking. Nothing really. Yeah,
the good thing is both of these were launched even in India. So if you go to Amazon right now, you will see. In fact, the homepage is both in Amazon.com and .in is plastered with all their new devices. So even the new Echo Dot, which has the nice fabric and with the clock and all of them, everything is available in India with very good pricing too. And the good thing is with Fire Stick, what they have done is they have kept the new Fire Stick at the same price and kept the old Fire Stick also at around 1,000 rupees less, which makes a lot of sense. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm always all for, you know, giving realistic pricing for the whatever market you are.
Yes.
Sell to. And I think Amazon has been doing a great job at that.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the device which was the most exciting in the entire lineup. What is it called? The Ring Security Drone, wasn't it?
Yeah, the flying security camera.
Okay, for somebody who's not seen it, describe what it looks like and what it is, what it does.
I mean, when it's docked, the whole thing just looks like one big square box, and you know, which basically just waiting there. It doesn't seem very special or anything until, you know, you actually decide like you want to turn it on. So when you activate it through your either through your app or, you know, it detects any security events, like, you know, somebody opening a door or wherever you have a sensor using the Ring security system, and it immediately takes off. So the top half of the, not half, I would say the top one fourth of the box just pops out and starts flying away with a camera hanging under it.
Brilliant.
And just goes and, you know, goes to the whatever location where the
source
intrusion
of the noise.
So yeah, it goes and films that area continuously until you decide you are no longer interested or you turn it off. So it's something very innovative. I think, I mean, nobody has, he seems to have come up with this product till now.
No,
security cameras been
nobody
there
thought like, of it.
Yeah. So I found it very intriguing, and I was quite impressed with whatever the demo video that they had. And I feel that, you know, I would, if whenever it launches, I would definitely think of getting me one of those, as long as it kind of works well with my
Google.
I have the Nest security system at my home, and if it's going to work well with the Google ecosystem, then, and which I have seen, like all the Ring products, they are certified to work with the Google Assistant as well. So I don't see any concern right now. But if it does work with other ecosystem, then they seem to have a very interesting and possibly best-selling product on their hands.
We will put a link to the video of the Ring security drone. You should watch it if you have not seen it, and check out the video. It's amazing. And of course, many people are kind of concerned about, because it is such something so different of having a drone inside the house which is going to record. I can understand that. For me personally, the appeal, and I'm not really sure it will do that right now when it launches. But while the other two products have already launched, this one is coming out in 2021, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's coming out only next year, and which means that, you know, they are still working out some kinks in the software.
Yes.
And all that. So,
and they also said that the drone follows a preset route, so it's not going to go anywhere, and you know, it's not going to peek into your bathroom if you have not given it access. You have to tell it what parts of the house it's allowed to. Ricky or to patrol. But right. For me, you know, what would be great if I can say, you know, hey, you know, say the drone, why don't you come and take a photo? We are posing for a family photo, and instead of having to, you know, awkwardly position a camera or position a phone, if this drone can come, cover, let's say you have a event, you have a birthday party, when the world becomes normal, the drone, if people in the house consent to it, if the guests consent to it, if it can go around in the area and just keep clicking photographs, that will be amazing. Really candid photos. I know Google had one event, had one hardware called Clip, which was very badly conceived. I can see that working well with this, where, you know, there's a tiny drone, it goes around innocuously. Though it sounds creepy, it might sound creepy to some folks, I think I don't mind having it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me also, the more than, you know, the having it as a security cam, I think my thoughts immediately went to all the other applications for such a thing, which is like similar to what you said, like, you know, you can have it hover around a particular room when a party is going on, and just, you know, filming video as well as, you know, randomly taking snaps or whatever. And the other thing would be that, you know, it's more of a, when you do a, you can do like video calls with using drones between two people, like,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah, especially for senior citizens,
yeah, where they can follow people around while they are, you know, going about their daily task and still want to continue with the video call. It could be something that just follows around a person and while they're talking. I can see very lot of intriguing possibilities. And I think, somebody will, it's just a matter of time, like, you know, when, yes, if somebody will think of those applications and do it. And regarding the privacy point of view, I think what they clearly mentioned is that, you know, any drone, first of all, makes plenty of noise from its fans that are always running. So it's not like you will see something silently following you. It's always going to be very noticeable in terms of, you know, there is a device. It will not, of course, you know, drown out your talking or anything. It's not that level of noise, but there will be like a buzzing, low buzzing noise that's
right
around the room, so that you are always aware that something is flying around.
And I'm guessing on the camera will probably have the required red blinking light or
something, yeah, like that when it's recording. And the other thing is, when it's in inside the, when it's docked, it, the way the dock is designed is very nice, like where the camera sinks into the dock,
right,
and
right,
so it really film. Nobody can even hack into while it's docked and try to film something, because once it's in the dock, its camera is completely blocked. So it can only, you know, record when it's flying.
I look forward to this, and, you know, it's cheaper clones as and when they happen. And of course, all this would be good until Skynet launches and takes over everything. Of course, and when it does, I will welcome my new robo overlords. And is there anything else that we need to cover, or is that our episode for today?
No, I think that's pretty much
all right. So that's our episode for today. And please do review and rate this on whatever podcast app you're using, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or anything which you're using. And spread the word. Tell your family and friends about it and get in more listeners. So it really helps. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.